Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, I am so happy and honored to be here today. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is obviously a place that I still call home, and you all as my family. Before I get started, I want to give, of course, some quick shout-outs, right, to my children, Camille, she's waving over there, who's 10, going to be 11 in August. My son, EJ, whose birthday is on next Tuesday. He's going to be 9. And then she's awake. My daughter, Sid, we call her Sid. She is 3, just had her birthday on this past Thursday. Yes. Love you guys. My husband, Eric, you guys don't see him. He is actually in Kansas City right now at a work conference that was scheduled prior to me being invited to come and speak, and he's watching on YouTube. So, of course, I want to say hello, Eric, and I love you. All right. of course, my mom, Carrie Swisher, you all know. Thank you so much, Mom, for that beautiful introduction. My brother, Rodney. All right. My brother, Joel. Sister-in-law, Trina. Thank you, y'all. My best friend since third grade, Valerie Hayes, and her son, Curtis. Thank you so much. Dr. Anthony Mays and his family. Thank you so much for coming. My cousins, Marnette, and my cousins, the Hortons, also around. Love you all. Thank you so much for coming. And, of course, a host of family and friends that I may have not seen, but you are here. I see you, as well as those online. Thank you again so much for everything and your support, your continued love and support. Okay. So what a great Women's Day we've had so far, right? Let's just give another hand clap for just the efforts. I appreciate the efforts of the Women's Day Committee and Sister Rhea Griffin as chair. Your diligence to make this a great Women's Day is truly evident. So thank you so much for that. Okay. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I am especially encouraged by the theme today, empowered to serve, inspired to love, and a spirit to persevere, adopted from 2 Timothy 1:7. It is from this verse that I would like to begin. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. For the Spirit of God that he gives us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. I want to talk briefly with you all today about the executive of our functions. The executive of our functions. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Contextually, this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1 is situated a couple of verses after Paul has reminded Timothy of the power and impact of familial socialization. We know all too well what this is. The messages and teachings, implied and literal, of our culture that our family communicates and passes down to each generation. Here in verse 5, Paul is talking to Timothy, his close friend in missionary work that he references as both dear son and brother, to let him know, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. The messages and teachings from our family, and in honor of Women's Day, the matriarchs of our family, are impactful, meaningful, and significant to our well-being. I imagine that Paul knew exactly what he was doing when he mentioned in verse 5 the loved ones that are most significant to Timothy's life. Even when we are referenced to model that special real or fictive kin in our lives, motivation increases and we are inspired to live their legacy. Familial socialization is just that important. You see, in the psychology and education disciplines, research has consistently highlighted the impact of family and parent socialization. Whether these messages integrate cultural and ethnic values with preparation for discrimination and bias, as in racial and ethnic socialization, messages and conversations about emotional expression, regulation, and coping, as in emotional socialization, or family messages of warmth and support, as in parent involvement, all of these are associated with positive youth well-being, adjustment, and social emotional success that extends into adulthood. Parent and family messages are just that powerful. In 2 Timothy verse 5, Paul is highlighting the trailblazing women that Timothy sits on the shoulders of. Similar to the women on this side of heaven or in glory that model the steadfast and in spite of faith that move mountains and is unwavering. Indeed, the faith that Paul emphasizes to Timothy is similar to the faith we see in our mothers and grandmothers of Ebenezer, who continue to speak aloud and in our hearts and have been significant contributors to who we are today. We all know about the faith of these beautiful women, the always right on time faith they, as well as our mothers, grandmothers, sisters, and aunties have taught us through familial socialization. Oh, the importance and positive impact of our mothers and grandmothers, past and present. We love you and we need you. Hand clap for that, please. Working our way to the spotlighted verse today, Paul continues in verse 6. I love the first part of this verse, which stated in the King James Version says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you." Absolutely, it is the unique gifts that God has given each of us that makes us even more beautiful and special. Whether it's in the arts, education, law, medical, business, finance, service, or a combination of all of these, my prayer for you is to do as Paul tells Timothy, stir up, ignite, and unapologetically live and walk in the gift God has for you. Your gift is appreciated and important. Never let it dim. Can't you see it? Paul is really hyping up Timothy to sustain his preparation and readiness for the work of sharing the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. Paul has reminded Timothy where he came from, who he sits on the shoulders of, emphasized the value of Timothy's gift, and although that hype up is more than enough, has emphasized what I see as the bottom line in verse 7, the verse we amplify today. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The New King James Version says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We are not given the spirit of fear, the executive of our function. You know, the expression of fear can be so easy. It is derived from the processing in the midbrain area, part of the limbic system, also known as the emotional part of our brain, known as the amygdala. Often, researchers call emotions expressed in the amygdala, such as fear and anger, automatic and instinctual. We don't have to work hard to express it. When you think about it, having an automatic, fearful response is something that is adaptive. We know when to steer clear. No one wants to see a poisonous snake and wait to decide if they should be scared of it or not, right? Furthermore, when considering trying something new in an unfamiliar place, it may be easy to respond to our fears of the unknown and begin to second guess venturing out because we believe it is better and comfortable to keep things the same and predictable. Indeed, it may even be easier to live in fear, knowing the reality of racism, prejudice, discrimination, and disparity in our world. However, as automatic and adaptive fear can be, this is not where God wants us to sit. Instead, Paul explains to Timothy, God has given us power, love, and self-discipline, the executive of our function. Contrary to the workings of our midbrain that houses fear, the prefrontal cortex, the front part of our brain, houses processing that involves what developmental and neuropsychologists call executive functioning. Executive functioning is not automatic, and it is not fully developed until young adulthood. So what is executive functioning? It is a collective term including higher order brain functioning, such as cognitive flexibility, which is the ability to be adaptable in our perspectives and memory strategies. It is inhibitory control, the ability to withhold impulses to finish a task instead of wanting to watch that preferred TV show, right, or movie. It is using the skills needed to plan and organize information, tasks, and goals. It is self-regulation, adopting, coping, and calming strategies in response to situations that present extreme positive and negative emotions. Taking a look at this list, we can see the similarities between executive functioning and what God gives us: power, love, and self-discipline. Power is not only literal physical power, but also the mental toughness we have that can become derived from inhibitory control, planning and organizing, such as practicing and studying to become mentally stronger. Love. To love is to support, have empathy for, and to authentically be open to value those that we are devoted to. Love can be derived from cognitive flexibility, inhibitory control, and self-regulation. To have self-discipline is to be focused, attentive, driven, determined. This ability can arguably be derived from all of the skills: inhibitory control, self-regulation, planning and organizing, and cognitive flexibility. It is important to recognize that while fear is an easy emotion to present, displaying executive functioning skills are not as automatic. These abilities are intentional, calculated, goal-directed. When you think about it, the adoption of executive functioning is deliberate and takes practice to strengthen. It is no surprise that executive functioning skills are increasingly difficult to present when we are stressed, fatigued, or distracted. What am I talking about? This difficulty to present adaptive executive functioning can be seen in us when, in the classroom or at work, we want to stay focused on a task, but decide that the hot topic or the tea is just too good to miss out on. So we stop what we're doing to listen in. Maybe difficulty to adopt executive functioning can also be seen in the negative messages we say to ourselves. The self-doubt and worries we have about a variety of life circumstances that begin to consume us so much our efforts to thrive become clouded. Possibly, this difficulty is also seen as we serve as caregivers for our loved ones. However that looks, caregivers for our children, parents, family, and friends, supporting and being on call for their needs. Now, don't get me wrong. Service and care is important and how we show our love. But if we're not careful, we can put all of our energy into ensuring that our loved ones are well, that we become dysregulated and aimless. In each of these examples, we can visualize firsthand how executive functioning can be difficult and takes practice to strengthen. Executive functioning is not easy. But I am so grateful that God does not give us easy. Let me add one more layer to this. God does not give us easy because we have faith. Let that marinate for a second. God does not give us easy because we have faith. 2 Timothy 1:7 reminds us that God does not give us fear, the easy, but power, love, and self-discipline. Power, love, and self-discipline. As mentioned earlier, I liken these actions, thoughts, and feelings to what is defined as executive functioning. It is important to note that making the connection can prompt the realization and reality that people will ask questions. Those subtle jab, right? And purely curious questions. How are you always happy? How are you able to manage all of this? Or my favorite comment, wow, you're like a superhero. I'm not sure if I could juggle and deal with all that. These questions and comments often come from a place where individuals try to navigate the reality for us, thinking there is no way you should be able to do, reflecting on our theme today, be empowered, love, and persevere. There is no way, they say, that we should be able to do all of that, all of this, in the midst of all that's going on, and in the midst of everything that needs to be done. But when given these questions and comments, when individuals make attempts to figure us out on how we can do, feel, and think these seemingly impossible, we can confidently answer, it's not us. We know that God is the executive of our functioning. We cannot be without him. God is the executive of our functioning. It is God that gives us this power, love, and self-discipline that we practice during the daily routines, as well as the big changes and opportunities in our lives. But please, I urge you, don't believe me. Let's look further in the Bible. The power that God gives us, what does that look like? Well, 1 Peter 5:10 tells us, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. We don't have to worry and sit in fear. God provides us inner strength and external resources to help us carry on. Power can look like the courage to take initiative, advocate, leaning confidently in the gifts that God has given us. The love that God gives us, what does that look like? 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 tells us that love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. The self-discipline that Paul tells us that God gives us, what does that look like? We have guidance for it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. James 1:19-19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. God is and continues to be the executive of our functioning. If you don't mind, I'm going to take it back to how my dad used to say it. Aren't you glad that God is the executive of our functioning? Aren't you glad that God is the executive of our functioning? God continues to equip us with messages and teachings from our mothers and grandmothers who model steadfast faith. God does not give us room to fear, even when it's easy to have fear and give up. Instead, God gives us restorative power, love that never fails, and self-control that does not get weary. Let's continue to press forward, empowered to serve and love as we hold in our hearts the spirit to persevere. Every time God provides on purpose for his purpose. Thank you and God bless.
Good parents. They pass it around or they pass it down. Good or bad. And we're so thankful that you trusted us with Courtney in this congregation to do our little part to make her such a wonderful young lady. We look now and step out on faith. And if you need to do that, you just reach out, because the Lord's holding his hand up for you to come into the body of Christian love. If you have not given your life to Christ, I say now, Christ is never going to get tired of holding his hand out for you. Never. Amen. So, and don't say, it's not me. Because Sister Banks said, don't say it's not me. You say, I acknowledge who I am, good or bad. And if I need to have some kind of connection with God that I don't have, I give up my life now. One is come. God the blessing that has brought our way today. Come to Christ. We hope that you unite with this church, but if not, we hope by the church that is all of us in churches, and we thank you so much. Anyone else?
You are the knowing. Yes, I know.
Pastor Freeman, officers and members of Ebenezer Baptist Church, we're so glad to have with us this morning to come Charlotte Medeiros from 19th Street Baptist Church, and she's a former member of Ebenezer. And also, Bobby Wright, who is coming from Promised Land, but she is a former member of Ebenezer as well.
Amen, amen. Isn't this a blessing? Isn't this a blessing? Members who have been reared and nurtured in this church their whole lives. I know both of their families and have shared with services for both families since I've been here. And so wonderful, Bobby and Charlotte, to get you all back here at your home church. Amen. You want to both stand? Amen. Would you like to make a statement to the church?
It's just nice to be back home.
Amen.
There's times when I have a difficult time coming because I was raised here and both of our parents and grandparents are gone. So it's difficult times to come in here.
Yeah.
But we also know when we come, everybody loves us and we're back home.
Amen. Amen.
Well, this is where the seed was planted. And I've been struggling for these last 2 years with the COVID, not going to church. And it's just, I just wasn't feeling going back. And so I said, I think I'm going back home to Ebenezer. Because this is, I ran all up and down the balcony, they locked the doors, put me out, because me and Tracy were back to eat candy and everything. But this is home. This is where my strength is. And now I'm coming back.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Last Sunday, Sister Talbert came back home, and now Bobby and Charlotte have come back home We received them back on restoration, so just say amen, everybody. Amen. Welcome back home, and God bless you.
Amen.